Today's daf is Shabbos daf Ayin Hey, and we are at the last skinny line on daf Ayin Dalet Amid Beis Hagoyzeis Es Hatzemer VaHamilabnoi. Today's daf is being learned as a schus refuah shalema for Shlomo ben Sara Aliza, Avram ben Gittel, Yitzchak Eliyahu ben Chaya Sara, Avram Kaddish ben Malka Bela, Avram Yekusil ben Gittel, Rufal Chaim Shayoshev ben Baba Chaya Rivka, Yehuda Leib Chizkiyo ben Basya, Baruch Tzvi ben Shloimes Vega, Chaim ben Yom Mordechai ben Ida, Yael Bas Bela, Chizki Yoshloima Ziskin ben Nechama and El Yakim Getzel ben Brana Esther. Today's daf is also being learned. Le'ilui Nishmas Yechiel Yosef ben Tzvi Betzalo, Shloima Zev ben Avram Yitzchak, and Mordechai Ziskin ben Meir El Chanan. So the Gemara is continuing to discuss the very important Mishnah and daf Ayin Gimel Amid Aleph, the Mishnah that begins Avos Melachos Arba'im Chasar Achas. It concludes Hare Elu Avos Melachos Arba'im Chasar Achas, and in between it mentions the Arba'im Chasar Achas, the 39, the Lamites Melachos. Again, we are going through the Lamites Melachos very, very quickly, very briefly. These Gemaras are Mikra Mu'at. They're very, very small, but there's so much raid in the Rishonim and the Achronim. The Minchas Chinuch wrote a whole country called Moisach HaShabbos, where he goes through in Minchas Chinuch style each one of the Lamites Melachos. There's so much here, but Be'ezus Hashem, with the time in the coming weeks, hopefully we'll be able to come back to many of these Gemaras and speak out some very important raid. But for now, the Mishnah said, HaGoizes Etz HaTzemer VaHamelabnoi. So if somebody shears the wool of an animal, he's then melabin the animal, he whitens it. The Mishnah said, VaHamenaftzo. If he disentangles it, these are all Melechah Shabbos. Omer Rabba Bar Bar Chanan Rabbi Yoichan. Rabbi Chanan said, "Name Rabbi Yoichan on Hatovat Tzemer Shal Gabi Behema B'Shabbos." If somebody would spin the wool on a behema on Shabbos, so the conventional way of spinning thread would be to shear the wool and then afterwards do what you need to do. What this person did was he spun the wool while it was on the animal, and then he sheared it. Says Rabbi Bar Bachano that I heard in the name of my Rebbe, the great Rabbi Yochanan, the Chayiv Shalosh Chatois. This person, if he did a b'shogeg, he would have to bring three chatois, and the reason is because he violated three of the lamites melachos. Achas mishum goizes. When he eventually shears the wool, he violates the melach of goizes. V'achas mishum menafetz. Clearly, as he was spinning the wool, he was disentangling it. That's inevitable. So he was over the malacha menapetz va'achas mishum tava, and spinning the wool in and of itself is one of the 39 malachas. So this person would have to bring three chatois for what he did, even though it was behelam echad. And the reason is because by being tava tsemer shal gabi behema b'shabes, you're violating three malachas. Rav Kahana argued. He said, "I disagree. Ein derech gezizah b'kach. This is not the way to shear wool. You don't shear wool after you spun it. You shear wool ordinarily before you spun it. Ein derech menapetz b'kach." People don't usually disentangle these wool and hairs while they're on the animal. You do it once it was removed. Ain't derech tavi b'kach. This is not the way to spin it. As a result, it was done in the irregular way. Anytime a person does a melacha, not in the regular way, with a shinoi, if he does a kalachayad, he's not going to be chayiv chatas. Meaning it's asim midrabanan. That's a mistake people make. To do chil Shabbos with a shinoi is asr. It's asim midrabanan. So when you learn sugyas and mesachas Shabbos, yeah, it matters. Is it asim midei raisa or is it not asim midei raisa? If you do a b'shoigi, do you bring a karmi chatas? Or if you do a b'shoigi, do you not bring a karmi chatas? But if you're asking your local rabbi, either way, it's going to be asim. Because to do a melacha, even with a shinoi, is at the very least asim midrabanan. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's not considered to have been done with a shinoi chayiv chatas. According to Rav Kahana, it's going to be only asim midrabanan. Freik de Gemara, is it true? Meaning, is it not the derech to spin fibers of wool while they're attached to an animal? The tanya will enter the brayso. So mishmed Rab Nechemya, the name of Rab Nechemya, shot of beizim v'tava beizim. So the pasuk is describing the work that was done in preparation of the mishkan. So this is a pasuk tucked away. Shlut mois perik lamed hey pasuk hava v'chol hanoshim ashenasa liban oisana bechachma. Tavu esa izin. Chazal learned that, what does that mean? That alma tfiya gabi behemesh matfiya. They did it while it was physically on the animal. The way they would spin the hair of the goats was while it was on the animal. So you see that it's considered a malacha. So if it's considered a malacha, meaning this is the normal way of doing it, so how come if somebody would do it today, would he not be chayiv? Now, just to add to the question, what's the source of the Lamentas Malachas? It's the Malachas HaMishkan. So if in the Malachas HaMishkan itself you see Shatuf Be'izim, V'Tavu Be'izim, this is the way they spun it, so certainly that should be considered spinning it as it relates to Shabbos as well. So the Gemara says, Chachmi Yisei Rishani. Now they were Chachamim, these were women that were very, very talented. So for them it was considered Derech, for them it was considered a Malachas Machsheves, and that's why, had they done this on Shabbos, maybe it would be a problem. But for us mortals that don't know how to do this, we're not privy to this Chachmi Yaseira. For us, it would actually be considered Kela'achayad. And if it be considered Kela'achayad, we wouldn't be Chatan Rabbanon, Hatoilish Asa Kenaf. If somebody plucks a feather from the wings of a bird, V'hakoitmoy, and then afterwards clips the top of it, V'hamartoy, and then removes all the hair that's around, Chayv Shalosh Chatoy, it's going to be Chayv 3 Chatoy. What are the three? Amr Shimon ben Lakish, Toilish for plucking a Chaymish from Goyze. That's shearing, even though you're plucking, you're not shearing, but it's the same thing. Koitem, when the person clips off the top of the feather, chayev mishum mechatech. So mechatech is when you cut something, but you're precise as far as how much you're cutting. The measurements matter. So over here, by removing the top, clearly, precisely, you'll be chayev mishum mechatech. Then finally, memarit, by removing the hairs, chayev mishum memachik, you're going to be chayev for being memachik for smoothing. So just one ha'ara, a short ha'ara, before we go weiter, and that is that the Gemara says that if, according to Rav Kahana, if somebody would spin the hairs of an animal while it's on the animal, he wouldn't be chayev for the melacha of spinning. So even though spinning threads, Tava is one of the Lamatas Malachas, but if you do it while it's on the animal, it's not considered a Malach. And the Gemara asked the Kasha from a Braisa. The Braisa said in the name of Rav Nechemya, Shatuf Be'izim V'Tavu Be'izim, that the women, when they spun in the Mishkan, that's precisely the way they did it. So if that's the way they did it, so how could you tell me if I do it in a way that it was done in the Mishkan, it's going to be considered kelachayad? It's not the right way to do the malacha. The whole source of the malachas is the malachas HaMishkan. So if that's the way they spun in the Mishkan, so why should this not be considered spinning for me? And the Gemara says, Chachma Yaseira Shani. No, what they did was a Chachma Yaseira. So for them, they were Chacham and they knew how to do it. For them, it's not kelachayad. But for us to do it that way would be considered kelachayad. Just to chazer over Akasha that we mentioned earlier in the Masechta, and that is Rav Asher Weiss in his Minchas Asher in Parshas Vayakal says that we learn the source of all melachis is the Lamites melachis. Right? We spoke a lot about that already here as we turn to the second part of Periklah Gadol. The Makar is the Lamites melachis. The Makar is the Melachas HaMishkan. What happened there were 39 melachis that were done in preparing the Mishkan, and connected that, we have Lamites Melachas, we have 39 Melachas that we're not allowed to do on Shabbos. We learn a halacha that being that the Melachas HaMishkan was done b'melachas machsheves, it was done by professionals with artisans, so too, when we do Melacha, we have to make sure it's done b'melachas machsheves, or we have to make sure it's not b'melachas machsheves. The definition of a Melacha as relates to Shabbos would be, if it's done in the professional manner, would be a Melachas machsheves. Rav Asher Weiss asked that who's the one that built the Mishkan? Bezalel. We just mentioned the Gemara the other day. How did Bezalel build the Mishkan? The Gemara says, Yoidea haya Bezalel letzarif, chaf beis oisius, shabay nivru shamayim varetz. Bezalel built the Mishkan using the Seifa Yetzirah, Rashi says in Brachos Nun Heyman Aleph. He did it me'ain the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Bria. If that's the case, this wasn't done in a professional way. This seemed to be done in some supernatural way. It was done with the Seifa Yetzirah. So you're telling me that the source that a melacha has to be done in the normal conventional way is the Melachas HaMishkan. The Melachas HaMishkan itself involved Seifa Yetzirah. The Melachas HaMishkan itself involved supernatural factors. So how could you tell me that from Melachas HaMishkan, we learn a halacha called Melachas Machsheves, that the only time you chayev is if you do melacha in a regular way, if you do melacha in a conventional way. The parsha of the Mishkan itself, the way the Mishkan was built, was in the most unnatural way possible. So if that's the case, then how could that be a source that it has to be done in Melachas Machsheves? That was Rav Asher Weiss's kasha, which he says at first glance would seem to be a kushi atzuma. He said a beautiful teretz. He said that there were two components to the Mishkan. There was the physical component of the Mishkan, what he calls the guf of the Mishkan, and then there was the soul of the Mishkan, what he calls the neshama of the Mishkan. The guf of the Mishkan was done with Zeireya and Chayrish and Kaitzer and Ma'amir. That's the way the guf, the physical part of the Mishkan was built. When the Gemara says that Bezalel, Yedei Ahoya Bezalel, Letzarev Chav Bezoisya, Shabai Nivr Shamayim Varetz, it was referring to the neshama of the Mishkan. The guf of the Mishkan was built the same way any person would build a house. But what Bezalel knew how to do was to transcend the Mishkan from being merely a house, a bayis, into a Mishkan, a Makim Fashroyes HaShchina. And the way he was able to do that was through Yodeya Haya Bezalel, Letzarif Chav Bezoisius. But again, just to highlight the point that we learn the idea of Meleches Machsheves, that the only time a Melech is considered a Melech on Shabbos is if it was done in the proper way, it was done in the professional way, it was done in the way that artisans would do it. What's the source to it? Meleches HaMishkan. And that's the way the Mishkan was built. And all the Lamites Melaches are learned out from Meleches HaMishkan. But the truth is, if you dig a little bit deeper, it requires a little bit of an explanation. Our Gemara highlighted one point, Tava, one is spinning, which is one of the Lamites Melaches. It was done in an unnatural way. It was shatuf be'izim v'tavu be'izim, which the Gemara said involved the chachmi yisera. You have the entire Meleches HaMishkan. Rabbi Asher Weiss is the Ara. It was Yedeya Haya Betzalel, Tzarev Chav Bezoisis. You're going to tell me it was done the way professionals do it? They don't use the Seifa Yetzira. So there's a teretz to this, there's a teretz to that, but just as far as the Ara goes, fight that Koshev Amatis and the Mishnah, again, going through the Lamates Melaches mentioned, Koshev Yinala Dem Payanat, Mat Yinala Untayanat. So we know that if Koshev Amatir of our two of the Lamites Melaches, it must be that somewhere in preparing for the Mishkan, the Yidden were kosher and they were matas. So the Gemara says, "Kshir be Mishkan Eichavai." Where was kshira? On my rabbi. Rabbi says, "Can kosher be said this to Holim?" They would tie the ureas. They would tie the curtains to the pegs of the oil. So there was tying involved. There were curtains. Machlokes if it was three, if it was four, the ureas. So that you had to tie them down. So the Gemara says, "Ahu kosher manas lahateru." If that's the kosher, then I have a problem, because we know that the only time someone's chayef in the malach of kosher is if it's a kesher shel kayama. If you let it tie your shoes, why? Because you can untie your shoes. So any time you're kosher al manas lahateru, it's not a problem. The kosher that the Yidden did in the Mishkan when they were kosher the ureas to the yesedos of the oil, that was al manas lahater. So if it was al manas lahater, then kosher al manas lahater should be aser. We know it's kosher, it's mutter. Must be that's not the source of kosher. So again, what then is the source? Where was the kosher in the Mishkan? Elmer Abaya, Abaya said, "Can orge ureas shenifsiko lahem nima kosher oisam." When the weavers were weaving the ureas together, if they ever lost a hair, if something cut, so what they would do is they would tie it together. So you see, there was kosher. Amalei Rava, so Rava said, "Tirats the kosher matter my yigil meimer." Okay, so you have a source for kosher. Where do you find matter? And Rava continued, "V'chitam if you go tell me this ramidle trei chuti kitri b'hadi adodi shari chad v'kartachad." Maybe it was again with the weavers, and the weavers, if they ever found that there was two knots next to each other in the fabric that they were weaving, so maybe they would untie one of them. They didn't want to have two knots next to each other, didn't look nice. So maybe they would untie one. So maybe that's where there was matter. But the Gemara says, that can't be, because hashta lefnei melech basav adam in oisin kein, a person would never give a king a curtain that had one knot next to something that was once a knot but has since been untied. So lefnei melech malchem lachem kodesh baruch hu oisin, so it's certainly not proper for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We say Seder Kachim, there's a theme, Hakriveu Nol Efech HaSecha. There's an idea that when a person brings a carbon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to make sure the carbon's a nice carbon. It impacts halachas. For example, there's a halacha that an animal's not allowed to have a balmum, but the Gemara says, Tamus Bezachros Bebehema, Ve'ein Tamus Bezachros Be'oifes. If you're bringing an oif as a carbon, so it's allowed to have a mum. But the Gemara says a certain mum, and even an oif's not allowed to have. Because it's not appropriate. At the end of the day, when you bring a carbon, even if it's an oif, it's a bird, even if it's not subject to the laws of mumen. But there's an understanding that if you're serving your king, Melech Malchi Amlach Makadosh Baruch Hu, you have to do it in an appropriate way. So the Gemara says this would be inappropriate. So there's no way that was the matter. So what was the matter? Elam Rava. Rava said, "V'item Rabbi Loi shekein tzadei chilazoin koishenu matirin." The people that used to go out fishing, trying to hunt the chilazoin. So what they would do sometimes is they would have to be koisher and matir. Rashi says that they used to use a net to catch the chilazoin, and the way the net was made was by tying little ropes together. And sometimes they would have to lengthen it, and sometimes, to the contrary, they would remove some of it. That's where the kosher and the matter was. It was all to get the chilazoin. Now, what was the chilazoin all about? The chilazoin was from where they got the tchelas. That's where they got the dye to be able to make whatever had to be tchelas. If you take a look at Rashi, three lines from the bottom, so Rashi describes the chilazoin a little bit. Tzadei chilazoin, litzvay
Haya had tcheles bedami, because they used to use the blood of the chilazin to dye whatever needed to be tcheles. So what was the chilazin? So Rashi says vu kamin dag katan. It's like a small fish. Va'ola achas l'shivim shana. It lives at sea like a dog does, but every 70 years it emerges. So this is one of the clues, one of the Rashi's, and one of the important Mar Mekoymas in Shas as it relates to what exactly the chilazin is. So one of the great mysteries in Judaism is what exactly was the chilazin. No one's for sure seen it, and really all the from the Radzina Rebbe to Rav Herzog and to everyone, Tcheles Institutes that tried figuring out exactly what the Tcheles is, it was really based on clues. And you had to gather together what we know from Rishonim and from Gemaras and Midrashim to determine whether or not what we have is the Tcheles. This Rashi is an important clue. Now, when Rashi calls it a fish, which, by the way, is an issue for those that argue that that the chilazin is a snail, a dog. So there's a few things in this Rashi. Number one, the fact that Rashi calls it a dog, that in and of itself is very, very important. But oila achas l'shivim shana, the Gemara says in other places that the tcheles was very expensive. If it was oila achas l'shivim shana, that would explain why it was expensive. Regardless, the Gemara says that's where they were kosher and matva. The tzadei achilazin were kosher, and the tzadei achilazin had to be matva. Tevish de tfiros, you're not allowed to sew on Shabbos. How many stitches are you not allowed to sew? Two. Right, the Gemara two stitches, that doesn't sound like that should be anything. Meaning it's understood that the only time Teufer is going to be a malacha is if the tefira that you're doing is going to have some sort of kiyum. Teufer shtei tefiras has a kiyum. I'm a rabbi bar bachan, I'm rabbi yoichan, I'm ushakashan. You're right. It has to be that after you sewed it, you also tied it. Now, all the Rishonim are bothered with a very obvious question. If Teufer involves kosher, then presumably the kosher in the Mishkan involved, that the teufer in the Mishkan involved kosher as well. If the teufer involved kosher, then that's your source of kosher. So we just had a Gemara, Rabba, and Abaya, and Rabba, they're all struggling to find kosher. What do you mean? You just told me now, it's teufer shtei tefiros, v'hushe kashron. So maybe that should be your kosher as well. I am Berishay, my Kriya, Manas Litvar. The Mishnah said that if somebody tears something, but he does it with the intention to sew it back together, that's also going to be considered a malacha. So the Gemara says, Kriya b'mishkan mihava, was there Kriya in the Mishkan? Where did they tear things? So the Gemara says, yeah, Rabba, they said, can you read enough about Darna? If you had a urea, one of the curtains, if there was a Darna, Rashi says if a toilas, if a worm would make a hole in the curtain, Kairimba, what they would do is they would tear it a little bit more, and then they would sew it back together. So sometimes if you want to mend a hole in a fabric, what you do is you have to cut out a bigger hole, and then afterwards you can put it back together. So that was the Kairaya. And that Kairaya, by the way, was almanas litfar. So you see from there that kareya is a malacha. When is it a malacha? When it's almanas litfar. Amar Rav Zutru Bar Tuvio, Amar Rav Hamiteach Chutzal Tfira B'Shabbes. If somebody has a sewn beged and there's a little string that's protruding from it, he pulls the string, and by pulling the string, he causes the beged to get a little bit tighter. So like he sewed it technically by pulling the string. So hamiteach chutzal tefira b'shabbes chayiv chatas. Yichayiv is considered teifer. It's not considered shalei kederech. As a result, you're not only is it aser, but it's aser midei rais. Yichayiv chatas. Rav continued and he said another thing. V'aloi medover echem in amagush. If somebody learns one thing from a magush, chayiv misa. That's intense. So if somebody learns something from a magush, he's chayiv misa. We'll see what that means in a minute. And if somebody is versed in astronomy and astrology, the enoi chayshev, but he doesn't engage in the study of those chachmois, asur l'sapre, many are not allowed to hear anything from him. So first thing, Rashi says, who said all these three things? Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia said it in the name of Rav. Now, the one that we need is the first. Hamiteach chutzal tefira b'shabbes, chayiv chatas. We're learning Perek Klal Gadol, second half of Klal Gadol. We're going through the Lamatas Malachas, Teufer, Kosher. So in the world of these halachas, Hamiteach chutzal tefira b'shabbes is going to be chayiv. Why do we need to mention the other two halachas? And it's not because Rav said it. Rav said a lot of things. Half of Shas is Rav. So why do we have these other halachas? So Rashi says that you have to say that Hani klas shmeitza shaminu Rav Zutra meirav ki adadi v'garsinu. He must have heard all three of these halachas at the same time. I mean that he heard all three at the same time. So the Gemara already mentioned all three. So the first is negei us. The other two, again, haloi medover echem in a magush. Somebody learns one thing from a magush, he's chayiv misa. And if someone knows how to be mechashev tkufas and mazolois, and he's not, also l'sapri amenu. Says the Gemara, magushto. So So we just mentioned a magish. What is a magish? So it was machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Chadama once said charoshi. It means a charoshi, which Rashi says is a witch or a wizard or a sorcerer. This is someone that engages in kishuf. The chadama and the other said gedufi. Rashi says min. This is a koifer. Ha'aduk be'avoyde zara. U'megadev tamid es Hashem. So Rashi says a lot of things, but you get the gist of it. According to one, we don't know who either, Rav Shmuel held that it was a charoshi, this is a person that engages in kishuf, in magic, and the other one said it's someone that engages in avodah zarah. Versus this time, the Rav Damei Gadufi. It's Mestabe, the Rav is the one that said Gadufi. Rav Zuchibatuvi said the name of Rav. If somebody learns something from a Magush, he's Chayim Miso, says the Gemara. Now, Iso, could I the charoshi? Now, if you're going to tell me that Rav holds that it's a charoshi, it's someone that's involved in kishuv, if someone learns something from someone that's involved in kishuv, he's chayav misa, as if to say that you're certainly not allowed to learn kishuv, right? You can't even learn anything from someone that's engaged in kishuv. But oksiv, the pasuk says, lo yisilmad lasois kitayavais hagoyim mohem. You're not allowed to learn what the goyim mohem engaged in. These were the people, the umayis that were living in Canaan. And we learn from there that loisilmed lasois avlatolomed lahavin ulahiris. But you are allowed to learn kishuv if the purpose is for you to know kishuv. Right? It was important that the chachamim knew things. They had to be versed in all the chachmas. The Rambam talks about it in Perek Beis and Hilchos Sanhedrin. The Vilna Gaon talks about it in Mishlei. He says that's why in one place you find kashoichad yaver any chachamim, and another place you find kashoichad yaver any pikchim. He says because the talmid chachamim had to be chachamim and pikchim. They had to be versed in Torah, but they also had to be versed in other things as well. The Sanhedrin spoke all 70 languages. And the reason is because they had to deal with real life issues that required knowledge in certain basic areas of the sciences. So loisilmad lasois, you're not allowed to learn if your intention is to go and get involved in these things. If your purpose is lahavin, to understand, and even lahairais, to teach, to paskin shailas, then it's going to be okay. There's a Gemara in the end of Perek Dalad Misois that talks about Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva, all these different forms of kishuv. So you see that the Tanam knew kishuv because it was something that at the time was relevant, and it was something that they had to know. Either way, the Gemara says this time, so that's a raya that Rav, who said that you're not allowed to learn from a magush, must be a magush is an oyved avodah zarah, he's a min. Because if a magush is someone that's involved in kishuv, it's something you're allowed to do, and could be even something you're supposed to do. So what was the third thing Rav said? Again, Rav said three things. Rav Zuchu Bar Tuvi in one sitting heard three things from Rav. He heard that if you pull a string, you could be chayav mishum toifer. He heard that if you loimed dover echad min amogosh, which we just interpreted as a min, that's aduk b'avodah zarah, is chayav miso. And if someone knows to be mechashev tkufas amazolos, and he's not choshev, also l'saper emenu. Says the Gemara on that note, that Amma Rav Shimon ben Pazi, Amma Rav Shimon ben Levi, in the name of Bar Kapor, Kalidei l'chashev tkufas amazolos, v'ene choshev, all of HaKasav Oymes, regarding him that the Pasuk says, ve'es poyal Hashem lo yabitu, u'mase yodov lo yiro'u. These people had an opportunity to see the Yad Hashem, to the poyal of Hashem, and they chose not to. Ves poyal Hashem lo yabitu, they didn't look. Umayse yodov lo yiro'u, they chose not to see. Meaning if a person would be yodei l'chashev tkufos u'mazolos, he would come to an akara, an understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We sometimes think of science as being a contradiction to emunah. But the Gemara is saying just the opposite. Certainly certain sciences, not only are they not a contradiction, but to the contrary, they're mechazik a person's emunah. So if a person has the ability to study these things and he doesn't, all of HaKasav Oymer, Ves poyal Hashem, you had an opportunity to know the poyal Hashem, and lo yabitu, ma'ase yodov, Amar Rav Shmuel Rechmein, Rabbi Yonich, Zom Minayin, Shem Mitzvah, Lodom, Chashuk, Kufas, Mazalos, Hedi knows a mitzvah to study Tkufas, Mazalos, and Emar, because the Pasuk says, Ushmartem v'asisem, Hi chachmaschem uvinaschem le'enei ha'amen. Ezei chachma ubina shi le'enei ha'amen. What's an example of a chachma and a bina where you're able to show off a little bit? Le'enei ha'amen. Take a look at how smart the chachamim are. Have you ever chishuv tkufas amazolos? Do you should have explained because through chishuv tkufas amazolos you're able to predict things. So if you can predict things, people are going to take you seriously. You're going to earn people's respect when you can make serious predictions. So the Gemara says ki hi chachmaschem uvinaschem le'enei ha'amen. So pasha to me. That a yid conducts himself in a certain way. Chachmaschem uvinaschem leinu yamin. But Rabbi Yochanan said, "Minayim shemitzvah lo adam lechashev tkufas umazolos shenema ushmartem vasisem It's interesting. The Yidden, once upon a time, were very well versed in Tkufais u'Mazalis. And the Gemara says a special Chachma that the Yidden had, and it was Chachmaschem u'Vinaschem le'enei Yohanim. So much so that Rabbi Yochanan said it's a mitzvah. V'inayin she mitzvah la'adam l'chashe Tkufais u'Mazalis. There's a discussion in the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam and the Ramban and the Bahag, whether or not this should be counted as one of the Taryag mitzvahs. I mean, the Gemara calls it a mitzvah, after all. So maybe it's even counted as one of the Taryag mitzvahs. But I'll tell you one interesting thing, and that is the Rambam, in the end of the 17th parak of Hilchas Kiddush HaChodesh. So if you want to learn something hard, learn the Rambam's Hilchas Kiddush HaChodesh. He goes through the Tkufas and the Mazalos. There's a lot of mathematica. There's a lot going on there. It's very, very intense. So this is in Rambam's Hilchas Kiddush HaChodesh. It's Perek Yud Zayin. It's Halacha Chavdal. It's a well-known Rambam. The Rambam, after he brings all the Cheshbonos, he says as follows: V'tam kol elu ha-Cheshbonos. Everything I just told you, he chachmas atkufois v'hagematrios shechibru b'chachme yavon. It all comes from the Greeks. Svarim harbe v'heima nimtzim achshav biyad chacham. And it was those books that the Chachamim had access to, and when they based all their cheshbonos of Tkufas u'Mazalos, you know where it was coming from? It was Chachmas Yavanis. It came from the Greeks. Aval Asfarim shechibru Chachmi Yisrael, says the Rambam, the Sfarim that the Chachmi Yisrael wrote, shehoyu b'nei Neviim, that they had from the b'nei Neviim, b'nei Yisoschar lo higia eleinu. Rambam says, we don't have access to that. U'miachat shekol eilu dvar b'rayis bruz, but says the Rambam, you know, even though maybe I'm making you feel a little uncomfortable with what I just told you, that the whole Rambam, this is all based on Chachmas Yavanis, but the Rambam says you shouldn't be bothered by it, because at the end of the day this is science, and this could all be proven. And being that it could all be proven with Rayos Beruroi She'ein Bohem Doifi L'shoinoi Hazov Shal HaRambam V'yev Shal HaAdam LaHarach HaRayim, and there's no way to argue with them, is Ein Choshe Shal HaMechaber. So who cares, says the Rambam, who the author of it is? It Bein Shechibru Oysam Neviim Bein Shechibru Oysam Goyim. At the end of the day, we know it's Emes. Chachma b'goyim tamim. So if it's Emes, does it really matter that it comes from the Greeks? Shekol dovesh and eskal tamoy. Because anytime you know the reason, the noida amitasa, and as a result, you know it's true. Beraya she'im bem doifi, ein soim chen azeo ish, sha'omroi shalomdu. Don't kill the messenger. El ala rayish and eskal sava tamsha noida. That's all that matters. So the Rambam says that everything I just told you, now we're ready at the end of Perek Yud Zayin. Hilchas Kiddush HaChodesh. The Rambam is making these absolutely ridiculous cheshbonos. Says the Rambam, I just want you to know everything I just told you now, this is not the Messiah we have. We lost our Messiah from the Bnei Yisoschar, the Neviim. Unfortunately, Higiyah Eleinu, we don't have it. Where does this come from? This all comes from the Chachmei Yavan. And he says, don't worry about it. The fact that it comes from the Chachmei Yavan shouldn't disturb you, because at the end of the day, we know it's true. And as long as we know it's true, that's all that matters. The Ritva in our Gemara, B'lishoyne Azov, says two lines that without knowing the Rambam, you can't fully appreciate. Ezoi Chachmo Bina Shi Kenego Da Amin. It's a mitzvah to learn these things. Says the Ritva, v'kivan shekein, lomadnu ki mitzvah l'sasek ba, v'imbos eklal mishum chachma yavanas. That's what the Ritva says. It's one line in the Ritva. The Ritva says when the Gemara says mitzvah, the Gemara is saying a huge chiddush. Pasha, what's the chiddush? It's a mitzvah. Why was it a mitzvah? It's a mitzvah to learn Torah. Why would you think that that's a mitzvah? That's for sure the first chiddush, you see. But the Ritva says even a bigger chiddush over here. Because says the Ritva, you see from here, the embers are klal mishum chachmi yavanis. You have nothing to worry about as far as who said anything about chachmi yavanis. The Rambam did. The Rambam in Perek Yizayin, Hilchas Kiddush HaChodesh, said that if you're going to be mechashev today with Tkufas u'Mazalos, it's going to be the Tkufas u'Mazalos of the Greeks, of the Yavanim. So if it's going to be the Tkufas u'Mazalos of the Greeks, so l'chura, if that's the case, well, what's going on over here? Why should that be a mitzvah? Bishloima, if we'll be mechashev in the Tkufas u'Mazalos, that we have a Messiah, that's ki chachmaschem uvinaschem le'enei amim. So understand that this is our Messiah that we have, but we're studying Greek science. So why would that be kashuv? Teretz is, at the end of the day, the Yidden always understood it. They understood the Greek sciences and as it relates to astronomy and astrology better than the Umma Yisraelim did. And even in there was a ki chachmaschem uvinaschem le'enei amim. So there's two chedushim over here. Number one, it's not Chachmas Yavanis. It doesn't fall into the Gemara, Menachis, Tzadik, Tes, Amid, Beis, Rabbi Yaakov Edmunds, Tshuvin, Shelis, Yaivitz, Chelik, Aleph, Simen, Yod, all things we've spoken about in the past. Not just that, but it's even a mitzvah. The reason it's a mitzvah, because it makes us look good. Not just that, a person comes to Amunah when he understands certain things. And if someone has the ability to study and he doesn't, Yeshaya Perikei, Ve'es Poyal Hashem Lo Yabitu, Umayse Yadav Lo Yiro. Fascinating. Hatzah Tzvi. So returning to our regular program, which is the Lamites Malacha. So the Mishnah said that if somebody is tzad a tzvi, someone catches an animal, a deer, not necessarily a deer, the halach is yischayev for tzad. That's one of the lamites malachas. Tanu Rabbanon, and this next gemara is again a classic, a gemara that we're going to have to revisit at some point. Tzad chilazoin, if somebody would catch the chilazoin, the hapoitzoi, and then he would crush it to get its blood out. Again, why would you want the chilazoin? Because the blood of the chilazoin was used for the tchevas. So this person was tzad chilazoin on Shabbos, and then he was poitzeya it, he sucked out the blood. Eini chayev ala achas. The halacha is, he's going to be chayev for one malach. Rabbi Yehuda says, chayev shtam, you be chayev too. Rabbi Yehuda said, tziya bechlal disha, you chayev too. I mean, obviously you chayev for tzad, but Rabbi Yehuda said, you're also going to be chayev for dash. What's dash? If you remove the grain from its husk. Oh, very good. Here too, you're taking the blood out of the animal. So removing blood from an animal, we're going to learn later in the Masechta that if somebody milks a cow on Shabbos, it could be its dash. It could be its mefarik. Removing one thing from something else is considered dash. I said, Rabbi Yehuda, I think this would be dash as well. Amrulai, they told Rabbi Yehuda, ein petziah bechlal disha. I disagree. Petziah has nothing to do with dash. Amr Rav, my time, the Rabbanon, Shushan, the Rabbanon. First glance, Rabbi Yehuda seems to be saying something very sensible. Because they held, ein disha elo legedule karka. That where you find dash in the Mishkan, this was all in the Samamonim. It was the classic dash was gedule karka. So just like we had with regards to Ma'amer, that Abaye said, Ein Imur Ela Begedule Karka. Here, Rav is the one that said it, Ein Disha Ela Gedule Karka. So the Chilazin is not Gedule Karka. If it's not Gedule Karka, a kernel of wheat, that's Gedule Karka. This is not Gedule Karka. And it's for that reason it wouldn't relate. Oh, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Feit Gemara, but for the Chayiv Nami Mishom Netilas Neshama. What do you mean? You only chayv one? You should for sure be chayv two. When you crush the chilazoin to take its blood, you're going to kill it. Netilas neshama. That was also one of the lamites malachas. Which one? Hashoichdoi. That's the next malacha. Shoichet is one of the lamites malachas. Presumably because you're killing the animal. So here too, you're killing the animal. So you should be chayv two. Number one, you caught the animal. You were tzad. And number two, you were shoichet the animal. You didn't shecht it, but you killed it. So netilas neshama. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. It says shapatzei meis. It's talking about when you did it when the animal was dead already. I mean that you removed it when it was dead, so you didn't kill it. Rav Amar Rav says afilo temesh p'tzoichai. Even if you did it while it was alive, misasiku etzel netilas neshama. When you take the blood out, you have no kavana. Very important gemara coming up. You have no kavana to kill the animal. You don't care about killing the chilazin. You just want its blood. I'm more than happy for you to be alive. Just give me your blood, right? So being that you just want the blood, you have no issues with it being alive or dead. So it's for that reason, you're not chai mishum netilas neshom. Now the Gemara uses the word misasik. Tosfos says it doesn't really mean misasik. Don't start thinking in terms of the first half of Perek Hagadol. Misasik over here means you just don't have kavana. Let's assume we're going according to Reb Shimon. Tavashen mischavin is mutter, and that's why you have nothing to worry about netilas. So again, you caught the chilazin, you took the blood out. You caught the chilazin, tzad. That's easy. Question is, did you do any other malachas? So Rabbi Yehuda said right away, yeah, you are Yechayiv Shtayim, you were dash, you took the blood out, that's dash. The Chum hold Ein Disha Ela Begedule Karka. Rabbi Yehuda argues, he says, no, there's Disha, even if it's not Gedule Karka, so it's definitely going to be dash. Mar says, one second, when you took the blood out, you killed it, Netilas Neshama. So that's another one of the Lamites Malachas. Mar says, no, you didn't have Kavana. That wasn't your Kavana, you were Mesasek. It was Dovashen and Meschav. Fein the Gemara, Dovashen and Meschav. For Abai Verova, the Amri Travayu, then Abai Verova both say, Moide Rav Shimon Psikreisha Valayamas, the Rav Shimon's Moide by a Psikreisha. What do you mean? You, I'm taking the blood of it, I'm not going to kill it. What do you think was going to happen? I'm chopped its head off, but I didn't think it was going to die. That's the literal words. Psik resha, take its head off, and it's not going to die. This is like the literal psik resha. You're sucking its blood out, and you somehow think it's going to be alive. You don't have davish ena mischavin over here. Davish ena mischavin is when you don't have a mind to do a malacha, and it's not inevitable that what you're doing now is going to cause the malacha to happen. Here, by taking out its blood, you knew it was going to die. Says the Gemara, very important teretz. Shani hacha, this Gemara is different. The kamad is bein neshama tein dichale. Because this person, not only didn't he have in mind necessarily to kill the animal, he didn't want the animal to die. He actually was hoping that he would get all the blood out while the chilazin was still alive.
And the reason is ki hecha de litzul tzeve, because Rashi says the mare of the tzeva was tzolula. It was clearer if it was taken out of the chilazim while it was alive than after it already died. So be that it's clearer while it's alive than after it already died. So this person actually wants it to stay alive. Oh, if you want it to stay alive, over there, the fact that it's a psik reisha doesn't bother me. In other words, the Gemara just said a major yisoid. The Gemara just said that even though Reb Shimon holds Davar Sheni Mischaven as mutter, Moider Reb Shimon, a baiver of both sides, that means no one argues, for baiver of both sides, that Moider Reb Shimon is a reisha for layos, that even though Reb Shimon holds that if I do something I don't have in mind to do a malacha, it's not a problem, I could do it l'chatchila, that's only if it's not inevitable that a malach is going to be done. But if it's a psik reisha, for sure the malach is going to be done, then the halach is, there's no Reb Shimon who holds Davar Sheni Mischaven as mutter. Stating that, over here, where, although what the outcome is inevitable, I don't want the outcome, that inevitable outcome is something that I'm trying to delay. I don't want it to happen, even though I know it's going to happen eventually, because it's just going to happen. But I don't want it, it's Loi nichale. Over there, there's no halacha psik reisha. This Gemara right here is the makar to what we know as a psik reisha de loi nichale. It needs a little bit of, it needs a drum roll, it needs a fact, because it's very important in Hilcha Shabbos. And you see from here this concept that Reb Shimon holds Davar Sheni Mischaven's mutter, Moider Reb Shimon bepsik reisha, but then there's something called a psik reisha de loi nichale. Now, there's a very important Rashi here. Rashi says, what was the loi nichale over here? So let's read the Rashi inside. It's kedai. Dibra maskul. The blood that comes out of the chilazin while it's alive is better than the blood that comes out after the chilazin's dead. I mean that what this person wants to do is he's trying to keep this animal alive as much as possible. Afilu meis, even when it dies, ain kan ela misasik. It's considered dovet shein mischaven. Because the chim moide Reb Shimon. When is Reb Shimon moide? The midi doloyichbasle imisrami. That's only if it's something that he doesn't care about whether it happens or not. Umiu ichavni loy michaven. But he didn't have in mind for it to happen. But it's something that he doesn't really care if it happens or doesn't happen. But over here, he has an opinion. His opinion is, I don't want the outcome. When the opinion is, I don't want the outcome, that's when it's considered a psik reisha de loi nichale. It sounds like from Rashi, that what's the definition of a psik reisha de loi nichale? Loi nichale means, not I don't care, not I'm indifferent. Loi nichale means I have a very strong opinion. I'm strong-minded. I don't want it. It's loi nichale. V'chim moide Reb Shimon b'midat loi ichbaslei. Meaning, if I'm loi ichbaslei, if I'm indifferent, that's not a psik reisha de loi nichale. That would be a psik reisha de nichale. It's loi nichale when I have a very strong opinion. There's a stira in Rashi. There's a Rashi in Perek Aboina where Rashi says differently. Reb Kivega over there asks the kasha, and we'll wait for their Metz Hashem to get into the raid. But for now, we have another Amid Gemara to learn. So the Mishnah said, if somebody shechts an animal on Shabbos, he's going to be chayiv. Shoychet is also one of the Lama Tes Malach. It says the Gemara, Shoychet Mishonai Chayiv. Now, these next few lines of Gemara are deceptively challenging. So, not hard, but have to halt cut. So, the Gemara says, Shoychet Mishonai Chayiv. If someone shechts on Shabbos, what is he chayiv for? So, at first glance, it sounds like the Gemara's question is, what exactly is the malach of shoychet? But if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says that's not what the question was. The question was, shchita b'malachas ha-mishkan heicha. Where was their shoychet in the Mishkan? Meaning, the Maksha thinks that from the fact that the Mishnah called this malach a shoychet, it sounds like the Isser is to be shoychet. Now, the malach of shoychet is synonymous with another malach, netilas neshama. In fact, the Gemara just a few lines earlier asked that the chilaza, what happened to netilas neshama? Which one of the lametes malachas is netilas neshama? It's shoychet, as we mentioned, because shoychet is lav dafka. But that's only because we know the ending, we know the truth. The truth is shoychet is lav dafka. But the Gemara is going through this in real time, and the Gemara says shoychet. Oh, it sounds like the malach is the shecht. There's something unique about shechita. There was probably shechita in the Mishkan. Freit the Hilger Gemara, shoychet mishon naichayiv. Where was the shoychet? So Rashi says, maybe the shoychet was wherever the netilas neshama was. Meaning, they had to kill certain animals in order to, they had to kill the chalazin, right? There were certain animals that had to be killed. So maybe that's where the shoychet was. But Rashi says, who said they shechted those animals? Maybe they were chaynik. Maybe they choked those animals. Who said they shechted it? Maybe they killed it in some other way. If you're telling me that the malach is shoychet, it sounds like they were shoychet in the Mishkan. So the question is, where was the shoychet in the Mishkan? Rav Amar, Rav says, Mishum tzoyveya.
that really explain Rav Shita based on the way the Gemara is going to explain it, Lamaskana, because the Gemara is going to have a kasha on what this means. So based on the Maskana, Rav says that really the Malacha is not Shoychid. Really the Malacha was in the Tilas Neshama. And for all we know, could be there was never Shoychid in the Mishkan. And even though there were certain animals they had to kill for the Malachas on Mishkan, no one says they shechted it. Maybe they killed it in some other way. So you're right. The Malacha is not Shoychid because what they did in the Mishkan wasn't necessarily Shoychid. Why the Mishnah say Shoychid? Because the Mishnah wanted to tell me, Derech Agav, that if you would be shoychet, you wouldn't just be chayef in atilas neshama, you'd be chayef for tzoveya as well. And the reason is because if you shecht an animal in the proper way, there's a lot of blood by the beis hashchita, and that blood that goes on the animal itself is considered tzoveya, chiddush. But that's considered tzoveya. So if it's for that reason that it's considered, it's for that reason we mentioned shoychet. So we didn't mention shoychet because there's anything inherent to the malach of atilas neshama when you do it b'derech shoychet. Where it matters that it's shoychet is derech agav. We could tack on another malach. If you did it b'shoygig, you'd be chayav two chatois. One for netilas neshama, that's the real name of the malacha. Another one for being tzeveya, because when you shoychet, you're also tzeveya. If you choke an animal, it's not as bloody, and as a result, it's not going to be tzeveya. Shmuel said mishum netilas neshama. Shmuel didn't hear the whole kasha. Shmuel said shoychet is lavdafka. What Shmuel really means is, what shoychet means is netilas neshama. The Gemara goes back to Rav and says what we just said. Mishum tzeveya, mishum netilas neshama. Rav said that this is about tzeveya. Well, this is not tzeveya. Tzeveya is another one of the Lamentas Malachas. We already addressed Tzeveya. This is Shoychid. This is something else. Gemara says, you're right. What he meant to say was, you can have a second Malacha if you do it in the way of Shoychid. That's why I mentioned Shoychid. Oh, my Rav. So Rav said like this, Milsa da Amri, this that I just told you, Ema ba Milsa, I want to clarify what I just said a little bit. I'm afraid that the later generations are going to come and they're going to hear what I said and they're going to make fun of what I said. So Rav was concerned about what people in later generations were going to say about him. So Rav said, let me clarify. Now, of course, this is matim with what we know about Rav. The Rambam says, in Hilchas Deis, Perek Beis Halacha Dalet, Amru al Rav Talmud Rabbeinu HaKadosh Leisach Sicha B'teilu Kol Yomav. Rav minced words. In fact, Rav said in Psachim Dav Gimel, La'olam Yishana Adav L'Talmidai B'derech Tzar. Even when you teach Torah, it should be B'derech Tzar. So Rav apparently said it very bekitzer. But Rav said, I'm going to clarify. This one I'm going to go back to. Ema Be'milsa Toloylesi Dari Basroi the L'chaku Alay. Tzeveya, but my nichalei, meaning he said, people are going to laugh. This is called Tzeveya. Tzeveya is if you are mechavin to be Tzeveya. This is not Tzeveya. What's the Tzeveya over here? So he said, no, it actually is Tzeveya, because nicha the litvas beis hashchita domo, kechid el schazua, inchi v'leisi l'zav no mine. So I guess people that sold animals that they had just slaughtered, it actually made the animal look handsome, made the animal look good if it was nice and bloody. So as a result, yeah, it was actually nichalei. The Tzeveya is a real thing. It's not just something that's there. The person's actually happy with the Tzeveya. As a result, you'd be chay mishum tzaveh. V'ham molchoy, v'ham ma'abdin. Mishnah mentioned if somebody salts the skins as part of the tanning process, v'ham ma'abed is the more general term that's used to describe making the hides and processing these hides. So the Gemara asks, Chanu Maleach, Chanu Ma'abed, why are we singling out Maleach? Isn't Maleach part of the process of being Ma'abed? Rabbi Yechim, Mishlach, Shami, Travayu, Apichad Minayu, you're right. You have to take out one of the two. Either take out Maleach or take out Ma'abed. You don't need two Malachas for this. Right? The Gemara had talked about Zoyra, Bayer, and so over there we had three that would technically one. Here the Gemara asks the same kasha. Here the Gemara gives a different teres. The Gemara says you have to take out either Maleach or Ma'abed. Okay, and if you're going to take out one of the two, which one are you going to insert? The Ayil Sirtut. The one that you're going to put in is Sirtut. So Sirtut is of Sefer Torah fame. But what exactly is Sirtut? Sirtut is that before the person would cut the hide, before he was mechatech, he would draw lines inside so he should know exactly where he should cut it. That's a malacha chashuva, and that's sirtut. Amar Rabbi Barafun, Haiman the malach bistro. If somebody salts meat, chayim mishum ma'abed. He's chayim mishum ma'abed. So part of the kashering process is you have to salt an animal, a lot of salt. So salting the meat is considered ma'abed. Just like salting the hides is ma'abed, so to salting meat is ma'abed. Rabbi Amar Eim Ibud Oichlin. No, ma'abed is not on Oichlin. It's on hides. It's not on Oichlin. As a result, it's not going to be a problem. Even Rabbi Rav Huna that said that you're not allowed to salt Oichel, that's only if you're going to put a lot of salt. You know, you're doing so much because you need to preserve it for a very long time. Avalabesa, but if you're salting it because you're about to eat it, no one's going to put that much salt that it would be considered melech. Meaning, everyone agrees the definition of melech is a lot of salt. So if you're going to put that much salt, then maybe it could be an issue. But otherwise, it's not going to be an issue. Another discussion in the Rishonim, as it relates to salting food on Shabbos, is we know in Yerideya, there's a concept of maliach hareo kurei seach, that when a person salts something, it's tantamount to cooking it, as it relates to blias and platas. So if you would salt a kosher piece of meat together with a non-kosher piece of meat, so there'd be a problem to eat the kosher piece of meat, because we'd say that blias and platas transfer from the non-kosher meat into the kosher meat. So the question is there an issa to salt food, to put a lot of salt on food? Not because of meleach, maybe ein ibud la'eichlin, but because of bishul. Maybe there should be a bishul problem. If melicha is considered bishul in Yerideya, so there'd be makom to think that maybe melicha should be considered bishul as it relates to Hilcha Shabbos as well. Another interesting thing that we don't have time to get into. V'hamemachkoi v'hamechatkoi. Amar Rav Acha b'Rav Chanino hashof bein amudim. So what's memachik? Memachik means to smooth something. What does it mean to be mechatkoi? It means to cut it very precisely. Rav Acha b'Rav Chanino says hashof bein amudim. Somebody cleans, he sweeps up an area between the pillars. He sweeps the ground. Chay mishom memachik. If he's smoothing the ground, he's chay from memachik. Amar Rav Chia b'Rav Abba. Gimel dvar masochli Rav Asher. I heard three things from Rav Asher. I'm shmeid Rav Yishuv ben Levi. Hamegar Rashi kuntzis b'Shabbos. If somebody chisels the top of something on Shabbos, chayev mishum chatech, hamemareach retia b'Shabbos, if somebody smooths a medication on top of a wound on Shabbos, chayev mishum emachik, he's smoothing it, v'amesates esho even b'Shabbos, if somebody fine-tunes an even that he chiseled on Shabbos, chayev mishum makeh b'patish. Makeh b'patish is when you finish the work, you're just putting like your finishing touches to it. A lot of the things don't even have a makeh b'patish, right? You need to come up with a case where you even have a makeh b'patish. But the point is, in this case, if you chay mishum makeh b'patish, Amar Rav Shimon ben Kismo, Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Atzar Tzur B'Kli, if somebody paints a picture or he engraves a picture on a keli, if somebody blows into a glass keli, if somebody pulls out extra strands in a baguette, he too is going to be chav. Again, these are things that theoretically, technically, shouldn't be considered very significant. But being that it's the last thing you're doing, it's considered a malach, it's makbid patish. And the Gemara says, this is only if these are things that you really makbid on. But if you pull out a string that you couldn't care less if it's there or not there. So in that case, it's not going to be makeh b'patish. V'ha-koisev shtei oisev. Somebody writes two letters. So what's the shear of koisev? It's two oisevs. We saw yesterday in the raid, it's more than just the shear. It's the chefs of the malacha. Ramartcha Bennett, the Magen Avos, that the Michas Chinuch brings three times in Moisech HaShavs. So v'ha-koisev shtei oisev. What if somebody writes one oisev, but a very big one? It's so big that v'yesh b'mkoy melichtev shtayim. That he used the amount of space that somebody would usually use to write two letters. Pater, the halacha is pater. Machak ois gedoylo. If somebody erases one very large ois, v'yeshbam kamen lechtev shtayim, and there was room there to write two oises, chayiv, in that case, he's going to be chayiv. Menachem Rabbi Yosi, v'zechayim moichik v'koisev. It's a chumra moichik has over koisev. What's the var? Koisev, you're only chayiv if you write two oises. Moichik, what's the iser? Al menas lichtoy bez oisis. So what does mean al menas lichtoy? You need room to be able to write two oisis, and you have to have kavana to write two oisis. So if you're moichik, a very large ois, you have a mind to write two oisis, and there's room for the two oisis because it was a large ois, then you're going to be chai. Writing one ois, I don't care how big the ois is. At the end of the day, you only wrote an ois achas. For writing an ois achas, you're not going to be chai. But for being moichik, an ois achas, v'yesh b'mkani bez oisis, you will be chai. So this is an example where you can have a chumra moichik over kois. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Rav Zeri Dami Travayu, committed this by Gemar Malacha, like we mentioned, any time you finish something, but you want to now put the finishing touches. Chayim Mishon Makeh B'Patish, that's called Makeh B'Patish. Elu Avos Malachos, so the Mishnah began, the Avos Malachos, Arbam Chaser Achas. Then the Mishnah mentioned the Lamitas Malachos, and it concluded, Hare Elu Avos Malachos, Arbam Chaser Achas. So the Gemara, Elu, Lafukin, Rabbi Eliezer, and the Mechayev, Al Toldo, B'Mokimah. The Gemara mentioned many, many times. Why did the Mishnah mention the 39 Malachos? Rabbi Yochanan said, it's coming to teach me, Shem Asam Kulam Behelam Echad. If you did all the Malachos Behelam Echad, you're going to be Chayev 39, because you're only chayev for every av malacha that you do. If you do the same av malacha three times, behelam echad, it's as if you ate three kazesim of chayev of behelam echad. You're going to only have to bring one chakas. If you do two malachas behelam echad, you chayev for each one. What's the maximum amount of chatayis you could be chayef for chil Shabbos then? 39, because the maximum amount of malachas you have is 30. That we learn from the fact that the Tana, the Mishnah, counted the malachas for us. Minyan olamali, Rabbi Yochanan said, Shemasan kulam, we saw it three times in the first half of Klal Gadol and once in the second half of Klal Gadol. This is something that the Gemara mentioned many, many times. But the Tana, the Mishnah, then chazered over. Chazorah Sashir. Hare elu avis malachas arbaam chasarach. We finally figured out why the Tana, the Mishnah, mentioned 39. Now the Tana, the Mishnah, had to say it a second time. So the Gemara says, it's kami laf. Rabbi Eliezer holds that if somebody would do an Av Malacha and its Tolda, he'd be Chayiv for the Av and for the Tolda. This Rabbi Eliezer, by the way, if you look at the Maseres HaShas, is mentioned in Bava Kama Dav Beis Amar Aleph. So hopefully tomorrow we'll get into Bava Kama Dav Beis Amar Aleph and we'll talk a little bit more about Shitas Rabbi Eliezer as it relates to Avos and Toldas. But for now, Rabbi Eliezer holds that if you would do an Av and its Tolda, you wouldn't be Chayiv one, you'd be Chayiv two. You, the Chavim hold, no, each category of Melacha, you Chayiv one. Rabbi Eliezer holds you Chayiv for the Av and the Tolda together. So the reason the time of the Mishnah said a second time is Lafukim the Rabbi Eliezer, so you shouldn't think that the halachas are Rabbi Eliezer. No, that there's that number one, 39 is the maximum because for each av malacha, it's one, and even as it relates to the tolda, you're not chayiv for the tolda b'makom av chaser achas. So the Mishnah says 39 lafuke mid Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya we learned to the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda ma'isav es hashoyvet v'hamidaktik. Rabbi Yehuda had two other malachas that were not mentioned in the Mishnah. Number one, Rabbi Yehuda had the malacha of shoyvet. So what's the malacha of shoyvet? So literally it means lining up the warp threads with a rod. What is midaktik? Beating the weft threads, regardless, whatever exactly that means. Rabbi Yehuda hold that each one of those, shoyvet and medaktek, are also going to be considered malachas. And the Mishnah says, no, it's only these. Don't think there's anything. What else would you think is a malacha? Rabbi Yehuda's other malachas. Amrulai, say, told Rabbi Yehuda, shoyvet, hareu b'chal mesach. No, shoyvet is included in mesach. What was mesach? Mesach was mounting the warp, setting up the weaving. So that's all part of it. That prat doesn't get counted as a separate malacha. And as it relates to medaktek, beating the weft threads, hareu b'chal oirek. That's not part of setting up the weaving. That's actually part of the weaving. And as a result, those two malachas are not going to count. So let's see if we have time. Two short ha'aras. The first ha'ara is that Rabbi Yehuda, the last Gemara we just learned, seems to have two malachas that we didn't have in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda had the malacha of shoyvet, and Rabbi Yehuda had the malacha of medaktik. So whatever exactly they are is not important for this conversation. But Rabbi Yehuda seems to have two other malachas. And the question is, we know that how many malachas are there? Arbaim chaserachas. So if there's 39 malachas, then l'chura, what's Rabbi Yehuda going to do? Rabbi Yehuda has 41. He has the 39, and he had another two. Rabbi Yehuda Maisef, right? What does it sound like? Rabbi Yehuda was Maisef. It sounds like he had another two. So what? According to Rabbi Yehuda, there's 41 malachas? I thought there's 39 malachas. And what happened to Dumya de Malachas HaMishkan, which is what underpins not only the source of the Lamentas malachas, but so many of the halachas that we know in Hilchas Shabbos? So the question is, Rabbi Yehuda, is it possible that he actually held 41 malachas? So just to share one ha'ara, we don't have time to go through this properly, but one ha'ara that I saw in the Shailu Meshev, and this is from Rabbi Yosef Shol Natanzin. It's in Madura Kama. It's Chelik Sheni. It's Simen Samach Aleph. It's the very end of Simen Samach Aleph. So he says as follows. We know that there's a machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, whether Melacha Shein Etzricha Leguf is Chayev, or whether Melacha Shein Etzricha Leguf is Pater. Rabbi Yehuda's shita is that a Melacha Shein Etzricha Leguf is Chayev. Shimon Shita is that a malacha shein etzricha legufa is pater. What's the machloek? It's just the chazer over, even though we've had it so many times. According to Rav Shimon, the only time a person is mechal Shabbos is if he does a malacha, and his intention when he does the malacha is what he wants from the malacha is the positive outcome of the malacha. If, however, a person does a malacha with kavana, but he's doing it for some other reason, a defensive reason, for example, he extinguishes a candle because he just doesn't want the light anymore. He doesn't want the coals that come after your mechaba in there. He just doesn't want the light. He takes a mace and he moves it out from a Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim, not because he wants the mace in the Rishus HaRabim, but he just doesn't want the mace in the Rishus HaYachid. So if a person does the malach, he has kavanah to do the malacha. But it's in its tzarech l'guf. He doesn't really want the natural positive outcome of the malacha that he did. He wants something, but something else, something zaitig. It's ein etzricha legufa. According to Rav Shimon, you're going to be potter. Rav Yehuda's shita is that a malacha she'ein etzricha legufa is going to be chayiv. So Rav Yosef Shaul brings that he saw in the sefer Meiser Rekeach what he calls a margolis toiva. He said he found a gem. He found a metziah. The Meiser Rekeach. So what's the hezber in the machloikis? Why does Rabbi Yehuda hold malacha shein etzricha legufa is chayiv? It doesn't care whether it's tzricha legufa or not tzricha legufa. Even if it's ain't a tzricha legufa, it's pater. Even if you're doing it for some davret study, you're doing it for defensive reasons, it doesn't matter. So you're going to be chayiv. Rabbi Shimon holds that a malacha shein etzricha legufa. So he said, because Rashi says in Masachas Chagiga daf Yoram Midbeis, that what's the makar? Why is it that Rabbi Shimon holds that a malacha shein etzricha legufa is pater? It's because meleches, machsheves, Asra Torah. Because the Torah juxtaposed not once, but twice, the parasha of Shabbos and the parasha of Mishkan. Once in parashas Kisisa and the second time in the beginning of parashas Vayakel. And from there, Chazal learned many, many halachas. And one of the halachas Chazal learned was, is that the only time a person violates the Lamates Malachas is if he does the Malach in the same way the artisans did it when they were preparing from the Mishkan. We spoke a little bit about that early in the daf. This is Hilchas Shabbos 101. Meleches Machsheves. The words Meleches Machsheves are words in the Torah. Torah used those words, Meleches Machsheves, to describe the way the Mishkan was built. And being that the Mishkan was built, Meleches Machsheves, Targum says, Meleches Umnin, it was done the way Umnin do it, the way professionals do it. So the only time a person's life is if he does it that way. When the Umnin does the Melacha, he does it for the positive outcome. It's Tzricha Legufa. So Meleches Machsheves teaches me that it has to be a Melacha that's Tzricha Legufa. So it says, Rabbi Yosef Shal Natanzin, I saw in the Sefer Meiser Rekeach from Rabbi Eliezer, who was the Av Bezdin in Amsterdam, in Parshas Vayakel. He said, a Margolis Toiv, he said something beautiful. He said, you know, Pshat in Rabbi Yehuda is, you know why Rabbi Yehuda holds that a Malacha Shein Tzricha Legufa is Chayiv? What happened to Dumya the Malach Samishkan? What happened to the, says Rabbi Yehuda Lashitasai, because you know Rabbi Yehuda throughout Shas is not Doyer Smuchin. There's many, many sugis in Shas where the Gemara learns halacha from Smuchin. And there's one Tana in Shas who's never Doyer Smuchin. You know who that Tana is? It's Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Loi. It's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda was never Doyer Smuchin. The Gemara says in Mishnah Torah he was Doyer Smuchin. But other than Mishnah Torah, Rabbi Yehuda was never Doyer Smuchin. So the Rabbi Yosef Shaul said that Meiser Rekeach said something beautiful. A Margolis Toiva. He said it's Rabbi Yehuda Lushitasa. Rabbi Yehuda was not Doyer Smuchin. So Rabbi Yehuda didn't darshan the smichas between the Lametes Malachis and between Shabbos. So if he didn't darshan smichas, there's no halacha Malachis Machsheves Asur Torah. If there's no halacha of malachas machsheves asur Torah, so it's for that reason Rabbi Yehuda's shita is that a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa, even though it's not malachas machsheves, is still going to be chayav. So he added something beautiful. He said that we learned the Gemara earlier and daf mem beis amud aleph, but the Gemara was discussing shita Shmuel. The Shmuel hold like Rav Shimon that a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa is pater, or the Shmuel hold like Rav Shimon that a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa is, or does he hold like Rabbi Yehuda that a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa is chayav? And the Gemara asked a steer in Shmuel, because one place Shmuel paskin like Rav Shimon, and one place Shmuel Paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. And the Gemara spoke out the stira. What was it? Shmuel Paskin like Rabbi Shimon as it relates to Dava She'ena Mischave. And Shmuel Paskin like Rabbi Yehuda by Mlacha She'ena Tzricha Legufa. And amazingly, the Gemara said that's a stira. How could you hold like Rabbi Shimon in Dava She'ena Mischave and then hold like Rabbi Yehuda by Mlacha She'ena Tzricha Legufa? So the Gemara says, what do you mean? It's true that both machloikis is between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, and it's true that both very important machloikis is that permeate the whole Masechta Shabbos, but at the same time, they're two completely unrelated machloikis. One is a machloikis in Dovah Shein and Mischavin, the other is a machloikis in Malacha Shein Tzricha Legufa. And when we learned this Gemara, we mentioned that we'll have to revisit this at some point, because the Habamina, the Gemara is Tzorech Ian Gadol. The Gemara thought to equate Dovah Shein and Mischavin and Malacha Shein Tzricha Legufa. Again, they're both fundamental principles in Hilchas Shabbos, but they're not the same thing. They're unrelated halachas. One is Dovah She'ena Mischavin. Do I have to have Kavana to do what it is I'm doing? The other one is, if I had Kavana, does it have to be Tzricha Legufa? Said Rabbi Yosef Shaul Natanzin, the Pshat's Gevaldik. What's Pshat in Rabbi Shimon who holds Dovah She'ena Mischavin as Mutter? It's because Meleches Machsheves Asur Torah. Because Dumi the Meleches HaMishkan has to be Meleches Machsheves. So said Rabbi Yosef Shaul, that was the Havamin. I'll pee this Meiser Akeach, it's beautiful. Because you have two Rabbi Yehudas that don't care about Meleches Machsheves. And have two Rabbi Shimons that do care about Meleches Machsheves. Rabbi Shimon says, says if it's davar she'eino mischaven, it's not a melacha. It's machas machsheves. It's not doing melachas mishkan. If it's a melacha she'eino tzricha legufa, don't worry about it. Why not? If it's aser, but it's not aser medeiraisa, because it's not melachas machsheves. Both times Rabbi Yehuda argued. It's Rabbi Yehuda l'shitasla said the shoyel lameishiv. It's Rabbi Yehuda l'shitasla that he wasn't davar smuchin. He doesn't care about melachas machsheves. If he doesn't care about melachas machsheves, so he doesn't hold the davar she'eino mischaven. Doesn't melachas she'eino tzricha legufa. Rav Shimon does darshan smuchin, and being that he darshan smuchin, he cares about both. And that was the Gemara's kasha. How could Shmuel hold like Rav Shimon in one place, Rav Yehuda in the other place? Manavshach, do you darshan smuchin like Rav Shimon, or do you not darshan smuchin like Rav Yehuda? Do you care about Malachas Machshavos, or do you not care about Malachas Machshavos? But one thing you see in the Shoyel Meshev, I'm going to cut this abruptly, and that is, you see from the Shoyel Meshev that Rav Yehuda, who holds that Malachas Shein Tzricha Leguf is Chayev. Rav Yehuda that holds Dovah Shein Meshavon is Chayev. Rav Yehuda does not hold of the comparison between the Malachas HaMishkan and the Malachas Shabbos. Because Rabbi Yehuda is not Doyer Smuchen. And the whole commonality between Shabbos and Mishkan is all based on the fact that in Parshas Kisisa and in Parshas Vayakal, the Torah put the two together. But if you don't put them together, then there's no, that then you end up with Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. The point is Rabbi Yehuda holds that there is no connection. If there's no connection as it relates to Davar She'eino Mischaven Malachas She'eino Tzricha Legufa, then presumably there doesn't have to be a connection as it relates to the Lamed Tes Malachas either. So if the Makor to the Lamed Tes Malachas is this connection between Mishkan and Shabbos, and you have a Gemara here that Rabbi Yehuda might have held the 41 Malachas. 41 malachas, what do you mean? I thought it's related to the Mishkan. I thought there were only 39. It's Rabbi Yehuda Shitasa. The same Rabbi Yehuda that holds Davar She'eino Mischaven Schayev, Malachas She'eino Tzricha Leguf Schayev, holds that there were 49 malachas.